Certainly thankful for the privilege we have this evening to assemble together in peace to worship such a great God. And I struggled with coming tonight. I just felt like the church would be better off if I didn't come, and because your pastor may possibly call on me, and I didn't want to take any of his time, and I just feel like the church would be better off to hear somebody else speak sometimes. I don't know if y'all feel that way. I already heard myself one time today and don't really care to hear again. But the Lord was with us this morning, blessed, and pray that be the case this again this evening. I don't want to take much time, but I may just try to briefly speak from what I attempted to speak from this morning. Romans 11, verse 13. The Apostle Paul, speaking to the Gentiles of the church in Rome, he says, "For I speak to you Gentiles, and as much as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office. If by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh, and might save some of them." But Paul says that what his intentions are, is to provoke his fellow brethren in the flesh, fellow Jews that have rejected the gospel. The context, I'm just starting in the middle of the chapter here, but the context under consideration is gospel salvation, belief in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and the salvation that's in that belief in Jesus Christ. The same salvation that Paul speaks of in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and 10 when he says he endures all things for the elect's sake. He says he endures all things for the elect's sake that he might, they might obtain that salvation. It's also salvation in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Almost got it, but I don't think I quite got it. He says, "Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory." There's two things that he has in that verse there. The first thing the elect family of God has based on the finished work of Jesus Christ, based on the covenant that the Son of God entered into with His Father before the foundation of the world, and that is eternal glory. Eternal glory is secured by the work of God. It is secured for each and every child of God, each and every member of the elect family of God. But there's a salvation that's also available for the elect family of God. Paul says it is for that reason that he endures all things. He endured pain, persecution, suffering, imprisonment. All these things he endured so that the elect might obtain this salvation that is also in Christ Jesus. An also salvation, a temporal, a time salvation, a gospel salvation is what we preach it to be. And this is that salvation that he's speaking of here in verse 14. You know, Paul didn't believe himself to be a savior when it comes to the salvation of the elect family of God in an eternal sense. There's only one Savior of the elect family of God in an eternal sense, and that's our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But Paul says here in verse 14, "If by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh, and might save some of them." This is a temporal salvation, a time salvation under consideration associated with belief in the gospel. "For if the casting away of them," speaking of the Jews in question that have rejected the gospel of Jesus Christ, "if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? For if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy, and if the root be holy, so are the branches." Now, I'm not going to go into a lot of explanation on that, but I believe the root in consideration here, we're going to be speaking of a good olive tree. The root under consideration is that root of Jesse, the root of David, the root and offspring of David, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And he's also the first fruit under consideration there. He's the firstborn from the grave. He's the first fruit in every aspect. He gets all the preeminence when it comes to the elect family of God. He is the firstborn in every respect, every shape and fashion. And he's also the first fruit of this olive tree under consideration. "For if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy." If the first fruit is holy, if our Lord and Savior rose from that grave victorious and holy, then the entire elect family of God that He represented is also holy. Because He was crucified for our offenses, is what we're told in Romans 4 and 24, or 4 and 25. He was crucified for our offenses, for our sins, and He was raised again for our justification. Because He was raised victorious from that grave, we can rest assured that we are also justified in the sight of God, because we were represented in Jesus Christ and that sacrifice that He made on our behalf. And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou, being a wild olive tree, were grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and fatness of the olive tree, boast not against the branches. But if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief they were broken off. And thou standest by faith. The Gentiles that he is speaking to right here, they currently stand by faith. They are standing by the faith of Jesus Christ. They believe in Jesus Christ. They believe He was the Son of God. They believe that He died for their sins. And they are currently in a state of belief. They are partaking, as it says there, they're partaking of the root and the fatness of this olive tree. They are in a blessed state. We, tonight, can relate to these Gentiles, can we not? You know, we're Gentiles too. We're Gentiles too, and we've assembled together tonight in belief of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and His perfect finished work. And we've come here tonight to worship God for all He's done for us, to partake of the root and fatness of this olive tree. He says, thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. Have you ever been high-minded because of what we have here tonight? Have you ever been proud? You know, kind of bowed your chest out and said, you know, we've got the truth. We've got the truth, and all these other orders, you know, they're a distant second place or a distant third place. What they've got is not nearly as good as what we've got. Have you ever been high-minded about that? I have, and I pray the Lord will forgive me. You know, it's so easy for a man to get lifted up in pride about something that he's got no reason to be proud about. What in the world did we have to do with what we have here tonight? You know, was it something where we just, I don't know what we think sometimes. I think maybe we just think we're super smart or we're smarter than the average bear. But you know, we really, it's the grace of God that has enabled us to see and value what we have here tonight. It's not anything in and of ourselves. As he says right here to these Gentiles in question, they were a wild olive tree. And we'll consider that a little bit more here in a second. It says, be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest He also spare not thee. There's a warning here for these Gentiles which currently stand by faith. There's a warning here for us tonight. Gentiles that stand by faith. I trust in God that we're currently standing in faith. Take heed lest He also spare not thee. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God. On them which fell, severity. But toward thee, goodness, if thou continue in His goodness. Otherwise, thou also shalt be cut off. As we talked about earlier, this is also salvation under consideration. This is not eternal salvation that's under consideration. It's a conditional salvation for us if we continue in His goodness. Otherwise, thou also shalt be cut off. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in. For God is able to graft them in again. For if thou wert cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these, which be the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? Now, I've heard Brother Philip say he is not a gardener. He doesn't have a green thumb, and I am right there with him. I mean, I am not a gardener. I reap the benefits of my stepdad's garden, which is right across the road every year, and I'm happy to say that I do. He does a fine job, and I just never have really felt the need for me to do so, but I'm going to miss him when he's gone. But when you consider, I have read a little bit about grafting. And the purpose of grafting trees is, you know, what God has laid out here in His Word when He's talking about us and us being grafted into this good olive tree. It defies man's thinking from a natural standpoint. When a gardener, when a husbandman in the natural realm, when he grafts a tree, it's because he has maybe a wild tree and he wants that wild tree. You know, a wild tree typically either does not bear any fruit, or the fruit that it bears is no good. So he can take a branch from a good fruit tree, say a good apple tree, and he can cut that branch off and he can graft it into this wild tree. And lo and behold, that wild tree will bear the good fruit. That branch maintains its properties. That branch maintains its fruit-bearing capability. And now instead of just having one good fruit tree over here, you got two good fruit trees. Or maybe if you got, there's different reasons they do it. You know, maybe you got three apple trees and they bear fruit different times of the year. You can take a branch from each one, graft it onto this one tree, and now you've got a tree that'll also bring forth fruit year-round. Or different times of the year. Well, from a natural standpoint, I think there's some people out here in the world that they feel like when they come into the church, they're doing the church a favor. Almost like that good branch. You know, I'm going to come in and I'm going to be grafted into this olive tree and I'm going to do the olive tree some good. Well, look at what the Lord says happened here with us. We are a wild olive tree. A wild olive tree by nature, it doesn't bring forth good olives. As a matter of fact, they're not fit to eat. They're not fit to eat. They're full of seeds. They're bitter. They've got a horrible taste to them. And he takes that wild olive tree and he grafts it into the good olive tree. That defies man's logic, but that is a picture of the grace of God, is it not? He didn't take us because there was something good in us that was desirable. He didn't look down through time and say, well, this fella here, he's pretty good, and that fella, he's not all bad, and this fella here, he might bear some pretty good fruit. I think I'll graft him into this good olive tree. No, contrary to that, he grafted the wild olive tree into the good olive tree. You know, that's just a picture of the Lord's grace. There was no good in us whatsoever. No good whatsoever. Yet he could take that contrary, that wild olive tree, and graft it contrary to nature into a good olive tree. And our Lord, our God, has the power to make the tree good. He has the power to make the tree good and the fruit good. We, even though we're a wild olive tree, when He grafts us into that good olive tree, because we're supported by the root, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, through Him, we're able to offer up praise unto God that's acceptable to God. It's acceptable to God. It's pleasing to God when we do that. You know, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, there's a warning there, though. Like I said, our Lord teaches this parable a different way in John 15. He says that He is the vine. Jesus Christ speaking says, I am the vine. My Father is the husbandman. And basically, any branch that does not abide in Me, He casts it forth. And men gather them up and they're burned. If we're to bear fruit in God's kingdom, if we're to bear fruit and continue to be profitable in His service, we have to abide in Him. He warned His apostles to abide in Him, because without Him, if we're not abiding in Christ, there's nothing that we can do. We can't do anything that's acceptable in God's sight. Let us continue in His goodness. You know, I think I'm just going to stop right there. I hope that hadn't been too scattered, and I hope maybe Brother Philip can come ahead. I hadn't messed him up. Come on ahead, God bless you.